Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above. And I just have to tell you, this Mercury retrograde is getting my goat. It's not in Capricorn, so it's not in the sign of the goat. It's in Pisces, the sign of the fish. But it's exactly that. One minute I feel like I'm diving into the deep, and the other minute I'm swimming out in the ethers, have no clue what's going on. It's been crazy. Crazy, but not in a horrible way. I know sometimes we think of Mercury retrograde as having a lot of, you know, tech issues and travel issues and communication snafus. And in most respects, that's true. However, for me, it's more dumb stuff that is just annoying. Like, for example, this morning, I get ready to go on to Facebook Live through the usual channel that I've, you know, newly adopted since Zoom and Facebook were the only way that I really had available to me to get on. And this morning, it won't go on. So luckily, I'd started out like 10 minutes early to try to connect, and I had extra time, and I can see that my glasses are crooked. That's another thing. I dropped them and stepped on them yesterday. And then finally, I had to clear out my Google browser, go through, you know, the clearing of the history and all of that. And then finally, it would let me go live. So it's just been an interesting few days here. Oh, here's another good one. Last week, I got a T-Mobile boost. I think it's called a cell boost, because when I live here on this island, on this side of the island, I don't really get cell signal. Once in a while, I get a bar or two. And when I just did a rearrangement on my my cable services, I took away the landline telephone because I was paying $30 a month for it and not using it. And I went, I'm not doing that. So then I realized, oh no, when the cell signal, when the internet goes out, then I don't have access to my phone because I've been connected to the wireless with my phone. And then, of course, what promptly reminded me of that problem is on Valentine's Day when I was doing the Gene Key study group, the first one, my internet kept going out. And I went, okay, I got to fix this. So I get the cell boost. I get it connected. It took some time to do that. Yesterday, in the middle of working on the presentation for today's Living Astrology Academy, my internet went out. And I went, no problem. I can call Wave Broadband and I can get this fixed. Only it doesn't work, right? My phone still won't connect because it's connected to the router or the modem. And if you have no internet service, you have no modem. And therefore, I had no cell signal again. So now I'm fit to be tied. I am literally, I can feel the anger, the irritation, the anxiety rising in my body. And you know those moments, right? Where it's like, now I'm helpless, I'm powerless, and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to throw a tantrum. Well, I didn't throw a tantrum. I felt that. And before I threw my phone or the modem or my computer out, I decided I'm going to just back off and go do something different. So I went out, did something different for a little while. Found where in my house I had two bars of cell and got Wave on the phone. Only, of course, it is, we're sorry. This is their PAT thing. It says, we're sorry. We're experiencing higher call volumes than normal. Your wait may exceed 20 minutes. And I went, okay, you're testing my patience now. So I put it on the counter where it was picking up good signal, and I proceeded to do other things. And I happened to walk by my bedroom, which is where my internet is, and I looked over and it was working. And I went, that is the craziest thing ever. So solution was patience, presumably, get away from the mess. But there's been other things, just dumb things. Like this morning I had my hair done up, and literally 2 minutes before I went on, I had to take it all down because it was looking retarded. So my hair is just kind of thrown up because I didn't know what to do with it after it, you know, in 2 minutes before I had to come on live. So if you're experiencing, lesson learned here, if you're experiencing these irritations, minor though they may be, but irritants nonetheless, the clue here for you to take your time, be patient, move off into a different direction. Remember, we talked about those when we're talking about the number six in the Pleiadian Earth energy, where we come up against obstacles. And what are we meant to do? Go over, go around, go under, do something completely different, right? So I am learning that lesson in a big way, yet totally grateful that it isn't something big and major that's going on in my world. So small mercies, big blessings. Thank you very much, universe, for teaching me lessons that I then get to share with you all. So what makes things a little more complex this morning is that we started out the day with the moon in void, which means that we have the moon having made no new contact since 6:12 a.m. my time. So 9:12 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And it will stay in the void until 10:47 a.m. my time. That will be 1:47 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So not very long, but still enough that we may find ourselves, you know, with fits and starts here in the morning just because of the void, of course, energy. Now, the moon is void, of course, in Pisces, and that means when it breaks the void, it will move into the sign of Aries. Aries, the sign of action, ruled by Mars. Is this going to be our salvation for the week so we can get some things done and not feel like we're having to pull teeth and slog through water or mud to get there? Well, possibly so. Let's break this down a little bit. First of all, I'm going to go head over to Facebook and say good morning to everybody. But first I have to find the actual page because, you know, that was the last thing on my mind this morning was finding the page where I needed to be on Facebook. Oh boy. So let's see here. Good morning to Colleen. It's good to see you. Allison, great to see you. We haven't seen you in a while and I was wondering what was up with you. So thank you for coming this morning. Asa, good morning to you. Patricia Woods says good morning, everyone. And I'm sure there are others of you. Tara, good afternoon to you, because I believe you're in Ireland. So afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us. And anybody else out there whom I don't see, welcome, and thank you for joining us and living, joining us here at Living Astrology. So Sue McCarthy, good morning. I see you now too. And Angela Mather Keel, good morning to you. Great to see you joining in. She says, good morning. It is a fairly decent morning here. It looks like it might clear up and maybe we might see more sun. I don't know. It's getting to be that springtime edge out there. It's still chilly. I am in the Pacific Northwest, Sioux, in on Samish Island, which is sort of 20 miles or so south of Bellingham and about 16 miles north of Burlington and Mount Vernon, if you're familiar with this area at all. So I am coming to you this morning with some new light. So you guys will have to tell me if you like this light, if it does me good. I'm not sure because I feel like this side of me is in shadow while this side of me is bright. And that means I might have to bring in the other light at some point in time. But for today, it was one light. And I was really amazed at how wonderful it brightens up this area of my office. So I'm really liking this new, it's not new, it's unpacked. I've lived here for nigh on 3 years and never unpacked this box. In fact, I sent it over to my friend Cornelia's house for her to use because I didn't think I had room in my room for these lights. But I do, apparently, if we work it right. And my husband and I took the time on Saturday to play with this and get it set up. You can see sort of the edge of my curtain here that will be what I use when doing more courses and webinars for everyone, because I can change my background. It's a green screen and a black screen. The black screen keeps the light from coming in from behind. The green screen allows me to broadcast onto a screen or project onto a screen, whatever it is that I want to. And you saw a little bit of a taste test of it yesterday morning when I put the blue horoscope background up, and I really loved that, but it's just, unless I have the green screen down, it just chops me up and makes me look really weird. So, okay, on to astrology. All right. So then let's talk about what is going to happen later in the day when the moon moves into Aries. Aries is, first of all, let's talk about the moon, because I haven't done this in a while. And, you know, every morning, typically we start out with where the moon is. And there's a reason why I do that, because the moon, as the fastest moving planet or body in our solar system or in our universe that we live in right here on planet Earth, it rules the subtle emotional undercurrents that we will be experiencing during the 2 to 2.5 days that it spends in any one sign. So we've been, you can even look at this as sort of the background hum of energy that is available to us. And that availability is sometimes awesome, and other times it can create chaos, and at other times it can create that emotional reaction or that emotional feel-good feeling. So the moon is really, really important in our grand scheme of things here on planet Earth. So this is why we look at the moon every day that we can, because it is the fastest moving body and is changing the energy that we're feeling. Oh my Lord, I can't believe this. So I'm sure you guys think I'm a total nerd this morning. Moon in Aries rules fresh starts. We just had the new moon, so we have new beginnings, and we are building momentum for that new beginning. So the new moon sets that ability for us to start something new, setting intentions for what we want to manifest. And now we have the moon in Aries that's actually coming in behind that and giving us that more of a push, more of courage maybe to take action. If you've been reluctant to do something out of fear, today that's going to go bye-bye, right? Later in the day, the moon, as it moves into Aries, gives us that push that we might need and the momentum that we might need to make some changes. Aries energy rules our very being, the being, not the doing. You are a human being, remember, not a human doing. So in that, it takes us to our innocence. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to think of with Aries energy, but I always, always, always with Aries energy have the picture of the tarot card with the fool with his little knapsack on his back, whistling or whatever, moving through his life, unaware there's a cliff in front of him, with a little dog yapping at his feet, trying to warn him. And it to me represents that the innocence of a fool, and not that we're fools in being innocent. It's that there's this innocence in our ability to see a new beginning. And we don't know yet that it's going to blow up in our face or that it's going to work out smashingly. We don't know, but we innocently set out and move forward, prompting our success or prompting our failure, depending. And it doesn't matter. You could say that a failure is just as good as a success because it shows you what not to do, right? So we have this really innocent energy that is pushing us to use our personal authority in the world, to state it, to use it, to engage it. And then the courage, of course, that takes us into those new directions. This is also fighter energy. Aries is ruled by Mars. So we have warrior. We have the warrior of taking action, taking risks, not backing down from a fight or a conflict or a confrontation. So we want to be able to use that energy to push us to make us move forward. But rather than creating a fight, perhaps we can just confront what's going on within us that's stopping us from taking action, or what's stopping us from really fully expressing ourselves out in the world, because Aries is about expressing you. It is the very first sign of the zodiac. It's the sign of you, the self, being self-centered, self-caring, self-nurturing, although nurturing is a little bit out of the scope of Aries, but it's all about you, right? It's all about you and gaining your personal authority, not backing down and running, you know, tail between your legs because you've gotten frightened of something, but really taking that forward motion seriously, that new beginning seriously. Watching out for a couple of things though, right? This can be very aggressive energy. It can be more assertive in its attitude, pushing itself onto others or outward. It is that masculine energy, right? Of pushing outward and or being harsh towards others. I had to warn my husband this morning, who's a Libra, moon in Aries would be opposing his sun, and he has several other planets in Libra as well. And I had to warn him about taking physical risks. Aries is a very physical sign, physical action. And you have to be careful that you're not taking risky physical action during a moon in Aries. And also watching out for picking fights. It's not a good time to do that. Confrontations now can, you know, quickly turn into something that you didn't intend. Those tiny irritations can turn into those big conflagrations. So it's a time for us to be very careful in what we say, what we do, how we do what we do. And yes, it's not that it's not okay for you to feel anger or upset or irritation or impatience even. It just don't let those sort of reactionary energies rule the day. Right. So we've got a couple of days now of this Aries energy where we're going to want to watch for this kind of stuff. Now, adding to all of that today is Mercury in a conjunction to the sun, and also a what was the other one? Mercury in a sextile to the planet Mars. So Mars being the ruling planet for Aries, Mercury being in Pisces in retrograde. This might be energy that clashes a bit, where on one hand, we've got the more softer, compassionate, empathic energy, but on the other hand, that irritation that's seething below the surface. And depending on how your own personal chart is set up is really going to depend on how you end up expressing or experiencing this energy today. So let's talk about Mercury conjunct the sun. Now, Mercury's in retrograde. So this is a conjunction that happens during the retrograde cycle. And it happens when Mercury is moving quite slowly. So it's actually the sun that's moved up to meet Mercury retrograde. And it might be a very busy mental kind of day with a lot of communication possible, a lot of mind going. And when the mind is going, it's not that that's a bad thing. It's that when the mind is going, it can be that we lose focus, we scatter our energy a bit, and it can have us leaping out of one thing and into another, kind of that ADHD feeling. So today we have a lot of that mental energy available, and we may be leaping out of things and into things very quickly. But because Mercury is retrograde, we may also find that we gain new insights into old problems or to old issues or things that have always dogged us. This new insight may come in because things are slowed down. Your mind may be moving very quickly, but the ability for the mind to create action pathways is slowed down a bit. So you may be able to see things in a new way, right? Gaining insight into new ways of doing things or seeing things from a new perspective, right? Stepping outside of the normal way that you view the world or that you view think the problem perhaps, or the issue that you've been dealing with, so that you have a new way of dealing with that. We also want to remember today, tomorrow, the next day even, that words have impact. And so we want to use our words wisely for the next few days, right? If you speak out of impatience or you speak out of anger, the reaction from the other person or ramifications of that can be lasting. Remember, Mercury's retrograde. So anything that Mercury's taking in right now, it's sitting with, it's tapping into the energy of rephrasing and, you know, reworking it over and over in one's head. So if somebody comes up today to you and confronts you about something or says something that hurts your feelings, that's likely going to have lasting impact for you because you're taking that in and your mind in, you know, with Mercury slowed down is going to be working that. And then you know how you get that feeling of, I should have said this. And that builds that anger again within you as you relive the situation or the confrontation or the conversation. So we want to be very careful today and tomorrow about how we say what we say. that words have impact. And it's funny because we usually have this conversation when the moon is moving through Sagittarius or when other bodies are in Sagittarius, because Sagittarius has the tendency to speak bluntly. But Sagittarius bluntness is different from Aries speaking harshly in anger out of just that impatience and that very dynamic energy. So be careful what you say. With Mercury retrograde conjunct the sun, we are also easier to tap. It's easier for us to tap into what's correct for us. I sort of liken this where the field of things that we could tap into have narrowed. With Mercury retrograde, they get smaller. So there's this narrower field, and we have fewer choices perhaps. And that those fewer choices have been enacted by you, not like the universe putting this on you. You've chosen to narrow your focus somewhat. And in that, then you're tapping into what is really correct for me. And remember, Pisces being water, where Mercury is about the emotional energy. So we're tapping into the feeling of what feels good to us, what feels right, what feels, you know, what makes me excited or what makes me happy, what just makes me go, that's it. That's what I need to do and where I need to go and who I need to do this with. This is the subject I want to talk about, whatever it is. So we might have new things that gain momentum, but those new things may be emerging from a field that has become narrowed due to Mercury in retrograde. And remember too, now Mars is also going to sextile, or Mercury in retrograde is going to sextile Mars, who is newly in Capricorn. So this is really good energy for helping us to gain that focus and to really gain the momentum that we need to express ourselves in new ways. And that might mean through a new job, through a new relationship, through a new way of being. It could be any number of things, all dependent on what it is that you set out as your intentions with the new moon. All right, I'm going to slip back over here to Facebook. And let's see, Allison, I think Aries can be more ferocious in its words than Sagittarius. Yes, indeed, I think you're right. And that's a great word, ferocious, because that speaks to the warrior nature of Aries, and especially when Mercury is retrograde and our tongues were tripping over all the time, we might say or do things out of spite that we might normally not do. We may knee-jerk very easily, where we've been teaching ourselves to be in response to what's going on in our outer world. Unfortunately, though, this energy could push us into more of that ferocious, in Allison's words, expression. So we want to be very careful. Asa says, is it new perspective in the areas of our chart that Mercury is retrograding through? Quite possibly. Or it could be areas of your chart that the moon is moving through, which is Aries energy. I think it really depends, Asa, on what other planets you have in either Aries or Pisces, what sign you are. I happen to know that you're a Libra, so I know that right now the moon in Aries is moving in opposition to the planets that you have in Libra. So an opposition always brings up conflict. So you may feel a little conflicted for the next few days, like, you know, do I do this or do I do that? Feeling like you're being pulled in two different directions. The best way to deal with an opposition is to come to the center, right? To come to the middle and to feel the need to pay attention to both sides, right? So maybe there's a little bit of risk you got to take, a little bit of action that you have to take, but it needs to be in balance and harmony with the other parts of you that want to feel safe or want to feel protected or want to feel balanced. So I hope that helps you. Angela says, I seem to attract many natal moons and Aries people in my life, you and me both. And I wonder if that is due to having a north node in Libra. It's possible. Think about what the people who have the new moon or have a natal moon in Aries are like. I had to do this once because it seemed to me not only was I attracting a lot of natal moon in Aries people, but they were all women. And women with the natal moon in Aries can be more abrupt, can be more, what is the word I'm thinking of? Impetuous, right? More forward moving. And I was always hesitant, right? I was always playing it safe. So I looked at that, and my Aries for me is at my 10th house cusp, which is the 10th house, which is the dividing line for career and gaining your authority. So the message that I finally received for myself is that I was playing it too safe, that I needed to get my butt out there on the line a bit and do things that, were maybe a little more risky. And so that's what I took that to mean for me. For you, it might mean any number of different things. And I think the best question is what are those people that are carrying that natal moon? What are they showing you? Right? Are they showing you where you're too in bounds, where you're too safe? Maybe they're showing you where you take too much risk. It's up to you to take a look at what's going on in your own chart, find the houses that Aries is in, and see what that means for you. North node in Aries. So your north node, your destiny is in Aries. So you're destined to be a little more risky, to be a little more bold, to be a little more of the adventurer and sort of the explorer that goes into new territory. And I can't remember how old you are, Angela. I know you're a Gemini because we share the same birthday, but I don't remember how old you are. So it may be that the more you move through and gaining age, which is another way of saying gaining wisdom, you may find that that north node takes you in the correct direction for you, where maybe you've played it safe because I know you're in the process of having children and raising children, and you've got to be less risky now than what you might be a little bit later. So pay attention to what it is that those people are showing you. The north node is in your fourth house, which would make sense why my son's partner and exes are all moon Aries. Interesting, right? So fourth house is home and family and creating a foundation, one that stands the test of time, one that allows you to be bold and to go out into the world and explore. So right now, what you're doing is building the foundation, the strong foundation. Asa says she's very conflicted, been meditating to keep me centered, very helpful. Very good. Meditation is a great way to get through this. And I think the other thing that's beneficial for you as a Libra is that the Libra energy can be so waffling, right? It can be so indecisive as it's taking in and weighing all the options, seeing all the facets and all the ins and all the outs, and weighing one against the other. And the process gets slowed down for you in decision making because of that. And Aries Moon comes along and says, just make a decision. Right? Just take an action. Just do something. So, watching that for yourself as well. Are you dragging your feet out of indecision? And if so, the Aries moon comes along and says, okay, boom, I'm going to kick you out. And we're going to use that boot and kick you in the butt and make you do something, anything, right? Sue, how do you tell what is your south node or your north node? All right, good question, Sue. And in a moment, I'm going to put up a chart and I will show you how you find that. And Libra, you're a Libra as well. Okay, great. Let's see, what other comments was I missing here? Too bad they've gone past me. So I'm going to right now, I'm going to share my screen. So I'm going to go back to Zoom. And well, no, first of all, I'm going to go back here because I want to make sure that chart is up. And now I'm going to share my screen so I can show you, Sue, and others who might have the same question, how to tell where the North Node is. So let me make my screen a little bit bigger here. So here is an astrology chart, and this happens to be the chart of the day, which means I drew this up this morning at 6:42 a.m. So since then, the moon has moved somewhat. The other planets, not very much at all. But I bring this chart up every day so that I can get a snapshot of what's going on in the stars. The first thing that you're going to notice is this bold line. The bold line is there's two. There's a horizontal bold line that represents the east and the west horizon. And then there is the noon position and the 6 p.m. position of the chart, or not the 6 p.m., this would be the midnight. So noon and midnight, this is vertical. Oh my God, see what Mercury retrograde does? I know what I'm thinking, but my mouth won't catch up. So the vertical line here is the midheaven and the nadir or the IC. it represents the entryway into your worldly self. And down here, this line represents the entryway into yourself at home. So the fourth house here represents home and family and foundation. And it's from this home, family, foundation that you're able to go out in the world in some form of career or profession, or in some way where you engage your authority, where people see you out in the world. And notice how all of the planets, here's the actual point I was trying to get to, is that all these planets are over here on this one hemispheric side. And it happens to be a more introspective and social. So how's that? Social introspection, where we are really monitoring who we are juxtaposed against the worldly self that we are. So who's the true me and who's the worldly me? And that's what's up for all of us, right? And so we are in a process then, you could think of this as coming into an alignment where the true you is being expressed out in the world rather than some false image of who you think you are. So it's like having a child, being the child who grows up with a father or mother that expects you to go out in the world and do certain things. Like let's say your father's an attorney and he has high hopes that you're going to grow up and be an attorney. And you go out in the world because you want to initially please your father. And yeah, nope, that ain't happening. I don't want to be an attorney. I want to be an artist. And you move in a different direction. And when you finally bring this outer worldly expression with this inner you together, it feels so good, right? It feels so right. Everything, your world opens up for you. And even though initially maybe your parents are aghast that you've given up, you know, the the income of a lawyer versus having an artist's life, ultimately it's up to you what you do. And so that is the focus for a lot of people on the planet right now, as this is where we are in our charts, this energy. Now, to get to Sue's question, the South Node and the North Node represent an axis of destiny. And the North Node is right here. If you can see my little pink mouse cursor moving around here in a circle, this is the North Node. It is right now today sitting at 6 degrees of Cancer. It is the dragon's head. It is the direction in which destiny is pushing us as a people in this chart, because this is a chart of the day, but pushing you as an individual wherever this is found in your own personal astrology chart. Now, the South Node is the exact opposite. It's directly across from it up here at 6 degrees of the opposing sign of Capricorn. The South Node is the dragon's tail, and it represents the collection of information from the past, past experience, past lives, everything that we've tried and done before that may have benefited us or worked for us. And in this lifetime, it doesn't. We have to move to this direction. So you could look at this because it kind of looks like a cup. The cup here is the collection of everything you've learned, your cellular memories, your ancestral line, your experiences, your relationships, everything that's ever happened is in the South Node. And it's meant to be then poured into, if you will, the head of the dragon, which moves you and steers you in a new direction. So for example, humankind right now, since we're humans and we're on this planet, we are being steered out of this patriarchal government institution driven corporatocracy that we've created, and into the more matriarchal, nurturing, loving and compassionate energy of Cancer. That's the destiny of humankind at this moment. It's reminding us, wait a minute, if you go back to your tribal days, we took care of each other in a different way than what the complex systems are that you've built now. So those complex systems are breaking down and are being shown for their weaknesses in favor of a move to more family-oriented, traditional ways of taking care of each other and nurturing each other. Now, that's a slow move because it's an entire collective that's moving in that direction. For you personally, it is in human design, we look at this in two phases, that the first 40 years of your life, you're really kind of living out of the south node and still trying to do things. You're still learning. You're still trying to do things in the way that has worked for you from a cellular memory, but it isn't working in this lifetime. It's like you keep hitting up this brick wall. And every time you hit up against that brick wall, you're like, ugh, why does this keep happening to me, right? How many times have you said that or asked that of yourself? Why does this keep happening? And eventually we get the hint, maybe I need to do this differently. And that becomes then the push toward the north node, where everything becomes more about what does that represent for me? So the more that we try to depend on our systems and institutions here, the more collectively humanity says, oh, likely we better build tighter communities and families and have home and family be our foundation rather than corporations. Here we have a people-centered, public-centered, common folk sort of setup. Here we have more corporate, the rich, the institutional setup. So you can see how that's playing out in the outer world as well. So big, big time in the collective way of looking at the nodes, but more personal when it is in your chart. So I hope that answers your question the long way around, I'm sure. But Sue, that is what that means for you. I'm going to go back to Facebook real quickly before I head on into the Pleiadian day and see what we are looking at here. Sue says, makes so much sense about the hemispheres. Yep. Allison says, my Chiron is Aries. That's right, because you're in the midst of your Chiron return, and you're really learning about being independent and standing on your own and doing what's right for you. And that's exactly what that Chiron return would be, the healing of that wound where in the past, perhaps you did things for other people, forgetting what you wanted. And now it's turning into what I do for me is good for everyone. Okay, Sue, so my north node is fourth house, zero Sag, but conjunct Saturn at 29 Scorpio. Is my node stuck with the rules of Saturn? So it is in a way. It makes me, there's a couple of things that this makes me think of. It makes me think of the last lifetimes, previous existences of the adventurer, of the person who was always leaving home to go out and enjoy life and maybe leaving a family behind, right? So think of a person like Christopher Columbus, and I don't know if he ever had a wife or children or anything like that, but let's just think of someone like him or others like him who spent a great deal of time away from home. They felt more at home on the sea or away from home because they spent so little time at their actual home. So zero Sagittarius in your fourth house is saying you also need to spend time home, that you need to create that very solid foundation of home and family and being responsible to that home and that family, and also then be the adventurer. So adventures at home. It would be like changing your life to someone like what is her name? Martha Stewart, or what is that other girl's name that does cooking shows? I can see her face. Rachel Ray. You know, where you build both a business and a solid foundation out of home, right? Home and family. So the 29 Scorpio Saturn says you likely have something left over from another lifetime that you're working out in this lifetime. So you're trying to strike that balance between adventure, but also being home. But you don't want to get stuck at home all the time and never go out, right? The other end of that spectrum is a homebody, somebody who stays so close to home that they never have the adventures that their heart is wanting for them. So I'm not sure where you are in that, but she says, oh, she stuttered. So hit the nail on the head. And Sue, I don't know how old you are either, but that is, you're at various stages in your life going to accommodate that north node more and more, taking that adventure aside, but still having that solid home base, being responsible, but also having fun and playing and adventuring. So there's that. I'm waiting to see before I go over if she's going to tell me how old she is. Sue, are you new to us as well? Because I don't remember your last name. It doesn't strike my memory. But if you're new, welcome. That's awesome that you're joining us here. So while I'm waiting for Sue to tell me how old she is, if she wants to share that, I'm going to move over to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day because we are in the final day of the week. So for those of you who are new, the Pleiadian Earth astrology is based on a 13-day week. And 13 being that sacred number that we've that has been sort of pushed away and hidden from us, or made to be, you know, satanic or scary or superstitious or, you know, any of those things. But it is really truly a sacred number, and it represents completion. In the Pleiadian Earth week, we start with 1 and we end at 13. So instead of a 7-day week, we have a 13-day week, and it represents that spiral of consciousness. So as we move in at the bottom of the spiral, at the beginning, the 1, this time we began at 1 devotion. So all through this 13-day period, we've been exploring devotion as it relates to the various energies each day. What are we devoted to? How do we see what vision are we devoted to, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're reaching completion of that cycle that began at 1 devotion, where we are now fully integrating all that we have learned. So not only are we integrating the energies from 1 to 13, we're also seeing how that applies to the other spirals of consciousness, the other weeks that have gone by. So we're looking both more recent and also long term and integrating the new things into our consciousness. This is the energy of ascension, and ascension begins with a return to source, to the void, the part that we don't like, right? The void is the space of quiet and solitude, of no thing. It might be perceived by you as darkness or blackness or nothingness, but it is returning that to that void that allows us to integrate, to learn, and then to create a new beginning that starts with us tomorrow as we move out of 13 energy and into the 1 energy, beginning a new cycle. So don't be afraid to take that deep dive and to go in and to see in that dark space of no thing, what are the connections that you're making, right? Ascension implies a return to source to sort of get perspective about where do I go next? So in that's what today is about. The 13 represents the universal energy for the day. It doesn't matter what sign you are, what sign you were born on. If you are a life form and you are on this planet or in this universe, this is the energy that we are all facing down today, right? Today. But we also have an earth energy that accompanies the universal energy. And today's earth energy is called breathing. In the Mayan calendar, this was Ik. It represented the wind or breath, right? The breathing of new life into something, the acknowledgement that there's more to be had than just what you've thought in the one. Breathing happens to be the second sign, the second earth sign. Yesterday, we had the first earth sign, Imish, right? The creation, the birthing. So today we take it to the next sign in the series, which is breathing energy, acknowledging other perspectives, understanding duality, which is another thing that we have totally misunderstood as human beings on this planet. We took duality and we turned it into conflict. We took duality, we turned it into polarization. We took duality and we turned it into division, instead of understanding that duality is what makes us whole, right? If you only have one, you're only half done. You're only halfway there. You need the other half, right? Gemini, we understand that, right? The twins, right? We have to have both to feel complete. Otherwise, we're living only out of one side of our complete or whole self. So that is our Pleiadian energy for the day. So we're preparing today to move into something new, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, actually, what the new day is tomorrow. Going back to Facebook, Sue says, I just came along a few weeks ago. Marissa says, so age 43 is a refocus on the North Node. Yes, you could say that, Marissa, because there's always this sort of span of ages. And, you know, from an astrological point of view, the age 40 to 43 is the time of your Uranus opposition. Uranus is a planet that takes 84 years to go completely around your chart. So at 84 is the time you have your very first Uranus return, unlike Mars, for example, that has a return every 2 years. Because Uranus is further out there, we only have a return once every 84 years. So if we're lucky, we have one in this lifetime that we can, you know, have a new start. But the opposition point, when Uranus comes to the opposition, the halfway point of the cycle, which would be about age 41, 42, you come to a point where there's a revolution, a rebellion, a refocusing, a reimagination of who you fundamentally are. It's almost like this is the time where you get to change direction if you want to, because, you know, as you've been moving through life, you've been living out of that South Node. And perhaps it's time for you to make that complete, you know, devotion to the North Node in your chart, whatever it may be. So it is definitely, I think what you're using there word-wise is definitely a refocus on the North Node. And interestingly, the South Node, you know, holds a lot of juiciness, right? All the skills, the talents, the interests, the experiences, all of that is in that South Node. It just needs to be used in a new way. So it's not that we don't want those experiences or those things we've learned in the past. We don't want to just like throw them out, but we just want to be able to apply them in a new direction. So I don't remember what your North Node is, Marissa, but I can give you a great example. If you have a North Node in Leo, and your South Node is in Aquarius, you have likely spent many times devoting your energy to the group, right? To blending with others, to not standing out in the crowd, but being even somewhat behind the scenes and contributing to a group effort in some way. If your North Node is in Leo, at some point in your life, you're going to have to move that over to the more individualized expression of yourself, taking your heart-centeredness here and applying it in the way that you go out in the world for you, not for the benefit of the group, but for your benefit, right? It's following your heart, not following the heart of humanity or the heart of the collective, but following your own individual heart outward into the world. So that often changes then for us right in that age 40 to 43 years old, where we have to move. We've got to do it, right? We don't get to just stay in that past. We have to move on to the new. So there we have that. I hope that helps people too. And, you know, we're in various states of rejecting that part of us and accepting that part of us. I remember that time in my life where my life shifted dramatically between age 40 and 43, where before I was in sales and I was a sales manager. I was a general manager. I mean, my whole life was about working with others, a team, and I was the leader of the team. And I did very well at that, right? I made good money. I always had awards. I was always at the high end of the commission scale. But somehow something happened between 40 and 43. And for me, that happened right around the year 2001. And it was, I'll never forget 9/11. It seemed to be that harbinger of things that would change for me in my life. And I moved from that more sales team orientation to now I'm going to be an astrologer. I'm going to go into the metaphysical world. I'm going to be a teacher. It's the weirdest. When I look back now, it seems like the biggest change ever in my life to move from one focus to another. But it made sense. It makes sense when you look at the backdrop of my chart from my human design. You know, that was perfect. So we all make that transition. But those years, that 40 to 43 years old for me, very difficult, where I was ready to just pull my hair out. I even packed my bags and ran away from home because you go through something. You go through almost a teenage-like rebellion. And what's funny is I also ran away when I was a teenager. So I did it when I was in my 40s and I did it when I was in my teens. So it's that, and what's interesting about that is the Uranus opposition happens when you're in your early 40s, but your first Uranus square happens in your teens. So you can see sort of that rebellious thing that's kind of kicking you into a new direction, right? Causing you to make change, to awaken, awakening the dragon within you to move into that new direction. All right. So hopefully everybody gets that. Sue says, so all my work life has been a breeze and I have been awarded and respected most of my time. Is this from the South Node in the 10th house? I feel there is going to be a big change and maybe that is retirement coming. Quite possible. But, you know, all in all, you want to look at balance, Sue. So if you were balancing your dragon head, dragon tail, but it was expressing in the 10th house through the South Node, that was likely balanced by home and family or building of a foundation for your retirement, right? That could be because the 4th house also rules old age and retirement, right? The foundations that we set that carry us through that part of our life. So indeed, it could be. And that change, maybe it is retirement, maybe it's how you choose to do things differently in your life from here on. So there you go. Sue says, OMG, you sound like me. Maybe we're about the same age. I don't know, but we will see. All right, so we've crossed a lot of territory today, and I'm hoping everybody has gained some insight into themselves through the astrology of the day, through what is happening with the moon today in Aries, Mercury conjunct the sun, Mercury in a sextile to Mars, which actually becomes exact tomorrow. But we have a lot of energy right now getting us on track for expressing the truth of who we are and kind of solidifying in a sort of divine way, the connection to what our jobs were here on the planet, who we were here to be on the planet. And every one of these little steps is another stone that takes us on that path to really being engaged with that and expressing that to the world. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, I will be on air here in the morning, but I will also be on air on in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific time, when I meet up with my friend Annette McCoy in Melbourne, Australia, on Zoom this time instead of on the radio. And I will post that link later for you to join us. I believe it will be posting, it'll be Facebook Live on the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page. I will confirm that and get that information out to you. Tomorrow on her show, we're going to be talking about Saturn's move into Aquarius. It will do that for a couple of months this year and then move backwards into Capricorn again. And then on the winter solstice, it will meet up with Jupiter at 0 degrees Aquarius for the next where he will spend the next 2 to 2.5 years teaching us all about being more humanitarian and more forward thinking in the sign of Aquarius. So that will be tomorrow. And Friday, don't forget, is the next Gene Keys study group meeting. We'll meet at noon on the Gene Keys study page. And we are working with the Gene Key 22. So be sure to read the 22 and bring your questions to the group. And we'll hopefully have a great discussion about what the 22 involution, as opposed to evolution, involution, the inner world changes that are going on. Hopefully we'll gain some more insight into that. That is it for me today. I wish you all a wonderful day, and I'll see you again tomorrow morning. Bye for now.